God wants us to grow up. Just think about it. You have children. Do you want your children to stay like children forever? Well, it's fun for 6 years. After that, it starts to be going, wait a second. God wants us to grow up. That's His desire for us.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, within the myriad of ministries we see in the body of Christ, there are many different messages being preached.
Yes, there is, Dave, but what message is biblical? Or better said, what should be the message of ministry? Well, we're going to learn exactly what that is today from Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. So turn there as we begin.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Well, there are a multitude of ministries out there. I mentioned this last week. If you did a search on the internet for ministries, you're going to get millions of hits. If you narrow that down to church ministries, you're going to get even almost 900, 800,000 hits. There are a lot of ministries out there. Now, the question is, what ministries are biblical? Are they biblical? What is biblical ministry? We should know that because we are ministering. We are a church. We should know what biblical ministry is. And every believer should know what biblical ministry is so that they don't get duped by the bad guys. You should know what a biblical church looks like from God's word so that you don't go to a bad church and waste your life to Satan's delight, not growing, not changing, but wallowing around in the same way that you've been when you've been saved. You're not growing, not maturing. We need to be in a church that is God's church. We need to be in a church or in a ministry that is God's ministry, not man's ministry. You know, I always kind of shrivel up and recoil, and I know some people say this in a nice way, and they're not saying it in the intent that I'm saying. They say, oh, that's Greg's church. I go, yikes. No, it's not my church. It's the Lord's church, and hopefully we are being faithful to obey Him in His church. You see, believers are the body of Christ, and when we gather together, we gather as a church. And there are ways that the church is to function under the leadership that God has ordained. So we need to know what biblical ministry looks like. Now, today we're going to see exactly that. We're going to see the second part of three parts that the Apostle Paul lays forth in the book of Colossians that show us very clearly what biblical ministry is. Now, you can turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 25. We're going to finish up what we left off last week through 27. And I believe we're going to see specifically the message of ministry, what the message of any biblical ministry should be. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing these Colossians. He's under house arrest. That's about 62 AD. He has heard of their faith and their love. Their faith in Jesus and their love for one another, they're truly saved. And yet he has also been informed, I believe, of the threats to their faith. We see in chapter 2 that there were those trying to delude them with persuasive arguments. You know, people don't delude you with dumb arguments. They delude you with persuasive arguments. And there were those trying to do so, trying to get them to trust in the ABCs of the world's way to do your relationship with the Lord. And there were things that the Apostle Paul says are of no value against fleshly indulgence. He mentions a few of those. We'll get to that. Chapter 2 exposes the bad guys who were trying to spiritually kidnap believers. We'll see that word is even in there. That they might be kidnapped by philosophies and the world's wisdom rather than led by Christ. And so the Apostle Paul has responded. And so how has he responded? First of all, he has responded by a focus on the solution to the problem, which is Jesus Christ. And we're going to come to the pinnacle of that today. Unless the Lord takes us. I'm so excited about what we're going to see today because it is life-changing. It is life-changing if we are willing to listen and then willing to believe. We need to believe what God has said. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to believe what he has said. And so here we have the Apostle Paul, who has shared so clearly his thankfulness for their faith and their love. And he has shared his desire that they would be completely controlled by the will of God. And he prayed for them. And we need to be controlled by God's will as revealed in his word. And then from this, he springboarded into a picture of Jesus Christ, a focus on Christ, the solution. And within that, we saw that he is the supreme Lord of the created world, because he created it all. And he is also the supreme Lord of his church, because he brought it about through his death, burial, and resurrection. It is this new creation that we are, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that everything is so that he might have first place. And he created all things for himself, including us. And ultimately, the goal in the church in which he brought about salvation through Christ is to present us holy and blameless beyond reproach. Incredible, incredible. And so with that focus on Christ, Paul begins to then move in the end of the chapter to sharing his credentials, in a sense, in ministry. Not that he's trying to be prideful, but that we might see what genuine ministry looks like, and that will be a contrast to the false, bogus ministry that we see in chapter 2. And so he begins to share that. So let's take a look at our passage, and let's read it. And I want to back up a little bit into what we saw last week. And even in verse 23, in the end, we see that he was made a minister. He says in verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh I do share in behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me for your behalf." And that's really where we ended, but we started to just kind of trickle into the last part here. It says here, "that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God." Fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Tremendous reality. That is, and here we go, that is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, folks, we could just skip that little statement and lose a tremendous, invaluable truth. The truth is so valuable. We could just miss that. And I want to keep reading to the end here. "Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man, that we might present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me." Tremendous passage. But we need to understand what this really means. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the false guys teach you how to follow God. And it's all opposite. We have Christ in us, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have the living God in us. It was not revealed before, as we'll see. This is a tremendous passage. So then, what does authentic ministry look like? Again, we've seen, there's three parts. We've looked at the first part, but there's three parts. First of all, authentic ministry has God's men ministering. Secondly, as we're going to see today, authentic ministry preaches God's word fully, and the message is about Christ. You know, when you hear a sermon and you don't hear Christ, I'm not just saying the word being spoken. When you hear it, you hear a sermon, you hear all this biblical stuff, and it's not focusing on Christ, something is wrong. The message is about Christ. And then lastly, which we'll see next week, Lord willing, or the week after, authentic ministry uses God's method, proclaiming Christ, that every man would be complete. Now, last week, you might remember we saw that authentic ministry has God's men ministering. We see in verse 25 of this church, Paul says, "I was made," or "I became a minister." And we looked at all those passages in which God gifted Paul by his grace. And he bestowed upon him a stewardship by his grace. God brought Paul into that position. Paul was not cruising on the road to Damascus saying, I think I might want to be a minister in the church that I'm persecuting. I think I might want to do this. It was not at all. He was persecuting the church, and God saved him. Jesus Christ saved him and said, this is what I've appointed you to do. And when we get saved, he doesn't ask us, what do you want to do in the church? Like most churches have these big lists, what do you want to do? Well, what we want to do is have you do what God wants you to do. You see, God has gifted each one of us differently. And when it comes to ministers, or literally saw the word was servants, ministering the word of God, as we'll say, God appointed them and gifted them to do so. So biblical churches don't have hirelings who have a career in ministry. Biblical churches have those that God has called and gifted to preach and teach his word. Very clear. And those who are obedient to that calling. God's ministers understand that Christ made the ministers, that he's the one that did so. He did so, and he gifted them as such. Then we saw last week that God's ministers serve the body of Christ, not the world. Pastors and teachers are to shepherd the flock of God, not the world. They are to serve the body of Christ. Now, the body goes into the world and reflects the nature of Christ, the very light of Christ, his character in them. People see that, and they might glorify God for their good works that they see. They might come and get saved or get convicted, whatever it might be. Paul said, on behalf of this church, I was made a minister. On behalf of the church. It was for the church. We saw very clearly that our gifts are for the common good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, which would include what Paul received, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's by God's grace. Paul didn't say, I'm a special dude, and I got trained here and there, and therefore I'm ready for ministry. He said, counted all that stuff as loss. The Lord God, by his grace, he said, it's by his grace I am what I am. Paul said it's by his grace. And so we see that. And God's ministers serve the body of Christ. We saw that also. When the ministers are serving the world all the time, something's wrong. The way we minister to the world is by reflecting the character of Christ and that God would open doors for the gospel. That's how we minister to the world. We do good. And the Lord uses those good deeds to bring about possibly the door for them to ask why we have hope. Opens doors for the word of God, the gospel, as we go. Then we saw last week also that God's ministers see their suffering for Christ rightly. They see it rightly, and thus they rejoice. If you don't see it rightly, you're not going to rejoice. You're just going to wallow in the suffering that has happened. But if you see it rightly, there is joy. We saw that Paul understood that the afflictions that he was receiving were meant for Christ. Verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Not meritorious sufferings. He finished the work on the cross, but what's filling up in his afflictions? What would be meant for Jesus if he was on this earth now? And guess what? He is through his church. And so the church suffers afflictions meant for Christ. And so Paul rejoiced in that. And then we saw lastly that he understood he had a stewardship, God's ministers. You know, I don't see many people understanding they have a stewardship. I don't see many people faithfully preaching the word of God. I see them sitting down on chairs and dialoguing about this and that and this and that and sharing a verse. And they share three Bible verses and the church says, that was a biblical church. Well, the reality is we're to preach the word in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. It's not simply a Bible verse littered in here and there. You got the peddlers of the word. But God's ministers, as we see from the Apostle Paul's example, recognize they have a stewardship to fully proclaim the Word of God, to proclaim it fully, not partially, not in bits and pieces, but fully. He says, of this church I was made a minister, verse 25, according to the stewardship bestowed or given, God bestowed on me for your benefit. He was given a gifting. He was given the ability by God's grace to share the word of God. And so he had a stewardship. A stewardship is an obligation to do what God has gifted you in to take care of that and use that gifting. We all have a stewardship. But Paul gladly did it because he knew if he gladly did it voluntarily, there's a reward. And so here he says to fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That's what ministry is about, the preaching of the word of God. And we're going to see more specifically concerning Christ because it all points to him in some manner or fashion. So then, not all of us have pastor teaching gifts or teaching gifts, but here we see that we need to understand what biblical ministry looks like. So many people are yoked to such unbiblical ministries. Biblical ministries have God's men ministering. They have God's men ministering who are gifted by God by his grace to do what he's called them to do. And that leads us to our passage today where we're going to see that authentic ministry not only has God's men ministering, but that it also preaches God's message. So simple, right? I mean, you think about it. Authentic ministry preaches God's message. That's a no-brainer, right? Well, sadly enough, it's not the case. You got charlatans out there who disguise their message as God's message, but it's not God's message because as we've seen, God's message, and as we will see, is from the Word and it's about Christ. So then, let's look at our passage. Of this church, 25, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's probably the most important passage in Colossians. And for those of you who aren't here today, you're not here, you're missing it. This is probably the most important passage in Colossians. What an amazing passage. And we saw that the message of true ministry, first of all, is revealed in the Word of God. It's revealed in the Word of God. End of 25, that I might fully carry out the preaching of what? The Word of God. You see, Paul understood his stewardship. He understood it. We see in 1 Corinthians 4:1, he says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. You better be faithful if that's your calling. You better do it. And again, each of us have been given different gifts, but we're to employ them in serving one another. But here, Paul is a steward that he might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. Literally, it reads, to fulfill the Word of God. Plerao speaks of filling or fulfilling. It speaks of the idea of filling to completion. If I fulfill my duty, I have done my duty. If I fulfill the cup, it's full, right? We fill it up, it's full. It means completing, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. You see, Paul recognized that servanthood, he calls himself a minister, servanthood, a servant, is centered around the proclamation of the Word. Now, I don't want to break the bubble of ministry people, but all ministry is centered around the proclamation of the Word. Now, we're going to see there are gifts that work in concert, as we'll see, to work, to bring about the Word. It's not God's mercy that builds us up. It's his Word that builds us up. But we need his mercy that we would see him rightly and give him right. It's not God's comfort that builds us up, but we need his comfort. You see, everything works together, as we will see. But it all is for a goal that we would be presented complete in Christ. God wants us to grow up. Just think about it. You have children. Do you want your children to stay like children forever? Well, it's fun for 6 years. After that, it starts to be going, wait a second. God wants us to grow up. That's his desire for us. And we know from the Word that it is the Word of God in which he uses to bring us into a relationship with him. James chapter 1:18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. James 1:21, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 1:23 is really clear about regeneration. Really clear. For you have been born again. That means to be regenerated. not of seed, which is imperishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. God's word brings about regeneration. It brings about new birth. Now, God certainly uses his spirit to convict us before, and we know that. He uses the spirit to convict the unbelievers, to convict the world of sin and judgment, because they don't believe in him. But when it comes to salvation, he uses his word to bring us about, as we'll say, in the exercise of his will. He brought us about by the word. He chose to do that. You see, we were born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and the glory of the flower, this is 1 Peter 1:24. The glory of the flower of the grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. We know that it is through the sacred writings, the scriptures, that we gain wisdom that leads to salvation. You say, wait a second, God says, yes, he does, but he does it through a means. And that means eliminates boasting. It's through faith in Jesus Christ as revealed in the gospel. You can't get saved through your own power strength. You have to believe what Jesus did. It is the work of God, not a work of men. What shall we do that we do the works of God? Believe, Jesus said. That's God's work. But he brings it about through his word by his spirit. 2 Timothy 2:14, Paul says to Timothy, you, however, continue in the things that you've learned, been convinced of, knowing from where you've learned them, speaking about scriptures, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom which leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ. It's God's word that brings the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith. Paul makes it very clear that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then the Greek. We are brought forth by the word of God. God speaks us into existence, his new creation, through his word, the gospel. And he also grows us in respect to salvation through his word. He also uses it to grow us. Very clearly, God uses his word that we would be adequate equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, right after what I read earlier with Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God, God breathed, it's his word, not man's word, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God's word equips us for every good work that he has ordained that we would walk in. It's God's word that equips us. We're saved by God through his word. God saves us through his word. The word concerning Jesus, through faith in him, we're saved, right? And we are also built up through his word. It is the word that causes us to grow in respect to salvation. After saying we were born again through the living and abiding word of God, Peter says in 1 Peter 2, therefore long for the pure milk of the word, that you may grow by it in respect to salvation.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, remind us of the stewardship the Apostle Paul had and its significance.
Well, Dave, Paul had a stewardship to proclaim the word of God, as he said in our passage, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And oh, that the church would see that the message of ministry comes through the word proclaimed and taught alone. And as we will see, this all points to Christ. Well, we're not done with this amazing passage yet, so make plans to join us next time for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.